This is the It Ain't It Sis podcast, a podcast where we focus on life's pivots and redirections, relationships, and becoming a boss babe. I'm your host, Sarah Whitney, and this is a space where honesty, humor, and a whole lot of sass collide. No one has it figured out. So it's completely fine if sometimes it ain't it, sis. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the It Ain't It Sis podcast. I'm Sarah Whitney, your host, and today I am absolutely so incredibly excited for this episode. It is a dating episode, which I feel like I haven't done in a while. I don't really talk about dating just because I feel like, you know, in 2020, that really hasn't applied to my life whatsoever. But I decided, you know, why not have two women who know a thing or two about dating on my podcast? So I had Danielle and Julie from Foreplay, and Foreplay is a double dating app, which is such an amazing idea. I can't believe no one had thought of that before. But these two women, one is a nurse and one is a PA, and now they have a dating app, and they are true entrepreneuristas, which I think that's what Danielle calls it, being a female entrepreneur. And I think I'm going to use that now because I absolutely love that word. But these two are so funny. They're a BFF duo, and honestly, I was just laughing the entire time. I loved our conversation. It was so incredibly natural. And we talked about just dating safely, especially since dating mostly, and I'm assuming, unfortunately, for the next maybe year or so, will be mostly online. So they gave me a little rundown of what they think are the best dating tips in terms of before, during, and after the date. And then also, of course, we talk about all the juicy stuff, like our worst date experiences, just awkward experiences with guys and all of that. And honestly, just talking to them made my day. So I'm so excited for you guys to listen to this one. But in terms of a little life update, if you haven't heard, America, we have a new president. I'm so excited. And I know some of my listeners aren't in America, but I'm sure you have seen on your news what is happening. It's been a very, very big deal. Joe Biden is now our new president of the United States. And more importantly, we have our first female vice president, Kamala Harris. And Saturday, honestly, was such a good day. It was a great way to wake up. I literally turned over and I saw in a few group chats that I'm in, and then one of my best friends texted me. She was like, Biden won. And I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah. So that is just a high that I have been running on, I guess, for the past couple days. But other than that, I'm very busy with work. And I feel like I didn't even know that when I was quitting my job initially, I knew that, you know, I was doing a little bit of freelancing here and there, but now I feel like I've turned into a full-blown entrepreneur. I've gotten a few different more clients over the past couple days even, and it's just insane how things and, you know, life just changes so fast. So we shall see how this goes, and I'm very excited. But other than that, you know, just mentally preparing myself for moving to New York, I've been watching a lot of Sex and the City. So Carrie Bradshaw, move over. There's a new woman in town, or at least coming into town. So yeah, that's really all I have to say. But I'm so excited for you guys to listen to this episode. It honestly will make you laugh and just give you some good tangible tips on how to date in this new confusing era of online dating and apps, because your girl over here is incredibly confused, and I'm sure I'm not the only one. But other than that, enough of me rambling, and let's get into the podcast. Well, today, guys, I'm so excited to have Danielle and Julie on the podcast. They are the founders and creators of Foreplay, which is a dating app. So move over Hinge and Tinder. We got a new one in town. And thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having us. Thanks for that amazing introduction.
Oh, well, of course, I'm super excited because, you know, as we were talking before I hit the record button, I am, you know, trying to get back out there in terms of, you know, the dating scene. And it's a little bit difficult with COVID, obviously. But, you know, here we are. So hopefully I can try this one out and have some success. But, you know, before we get into it, I'd love it if you guys could just introduce yourselves and tell me, you know, what you're all about.
So I'm Danielle and I'm a nurse and obviously now a co-founder, which was not part of the plan, but so I'm a nurse. I'm from Connecticut and I went to college at Penn State, which is where I met Julie. So we met in our sorority. And now I live in New York City. I live in the same apartment for the past 6 years with my big sister who just moved out. And yeah, and Julie just moved into the city. So it's great to have my best friend here. And I think that's the brief synopsis of who I am.
Not so brief, but brief.
I'm Julie from New Jersey. Went to Penn State, obviously. It's where I met Danielle. And then took 2 years after college, went back to school to get my master's in physician assistant studies. So I'm a family medicine PA in New York and now a co-founder of a dating app.
That's awesome. Well, I kind of want to start off too with just how you got the idea of making this dating app, because obviously, I mean, there are a few out there on the market right now, but why is 4play, you know, different from say Bumble, Hinge, all of that?
So we definitely never had the idea for a dating app. We'll say that first. It was never a conversation like, oh, we should be entrepreneuristas. Let's start a dating app.
Yeah, definitely not.
What happened actually was that we were living together for a very brief period of time, just 6 weeks while Julie was doing her school rotation to become a PA. She was in New York and living with me for 6 weeks. And we decided that we wanted to change one of my dating profiles to the both of us. So we thought, let's put both of our pictures on here and then we can hang out all the time. You never have to leave. Like, we can always be together, but we can also date and be social. And so I basically put all the pictures on the dating app that were me and Julie from college pretty much. And I made a description that said, swipe right if you and your awesome friend want to go out with me and my awesome friend. And that was when the wheels started turning because we started to get this incredible response. Like, all these guys were messaging us and being like, wait, this is the best idea. One guy even was like, this should be an app. And we kind of like joked about it, laughed it off. Like, we're in healthcare. We're not making an app.
I'm certainly not making an app.
But when Julie told her family and I told my family
in like a, how hilarious is this? Sending screenshots of guys being like, you girls are changing the dating game. I have just the guy. I was like, fam, I'm getting like 50 guys right now that want to go out.
And also, like, it was so much fun because we were messaging with these guys on the app and then they said they had a friend and the conversation came off the app and then was in a group chat, like on iMessage. So that was really fun, like talking to these random people with my best friend in a group chat. And then Julie's family was dead seriously like, you guys have to make this an app because if you don't, somebody else will. This idea is incredible. Like, it's going to get stolen. You guys got to make this an app. Here we are. We accidentally made an app.
Now, to backtrack for 1 second, because I'm a very nosy person. So you've been on dating app?
Yeah. So I've been on Bumble and Hinge, but I had a Tinder for probably 3 days back in freshman year of college. But then obviously, as we all know, that's just a weird rabbit hole of just strange men and so many weird conversations. And all I remember, to be honest, is I had this conversation with a guy from South Africa, super hot, but he was just Snapchatting me for like 3 hours.
Why do you do that?
I know. I don't know. So that was like my experience with Tinder. And I was like, not the app for me. I mean, obviously some people I think have had success. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, tons of people have.
I feel like people have success like in that they, the same success that you have with having a one night stand. It's like, okay, exactly. Like it's probably not going to turn into something more, but there are some people who meet by having a one night stand. Good for those people.
I don't think it's exclusive to Tinder. I think like all of the dating apps, and I'm sure including 4play, you're going to run into situations where it's like awkward and creepy. And I personally don't understand when you match with somebody on dating apps and they immediately are like, what's your Instagram? I mean, I get it because maybe they want to vet you and see if you are who you are, but I hate, it's weird. What's your Instagram handle? Yep. Or when I had Snapchat, which I don't anymore, what's your Snapchat?
What's your
name?
Snap?
I hate that. I'm like,
why? I'm not going to Snapchat with you.
I only Snapchat my girlfriends because let's get real. You're going to see me with no makeup on in the ugliest outfits and just ugliest angles. I'm like, I'm not showing anyone else that, but like,
yeah. Right. Like, I'm not sending a guy Snapchats. Absolutely.
And I don't want you like seeing my like nephews and nieces. It's just, right. It's very invasive. So I would rather give my phone number out than give my Instagram.
Exactly. And that way too, like if you don't answer their text, then they could be like, oh, well, she didn't see it, she was busy, versus Snapchat. Like, I hate the fact that, you know, you can see when they opened it. And I'm like, yep. I don't even want to know or want them to know that I know what I'm doing.
Same with WhatsApp. Because with WhatsApp, it's like you can see when the person was online. You can see when they read it, but there is a trick to avoid the other person seeing that you read it. I know a trick. I can tell you guys about that later. But they can still see when you were online. So it's like, hey, you've been online for 4 days. I would just rather give my phone number. Let's not do Snapchat. Let's not do Instagram. Although I am kind of into FaceTiming these days, to be honest.
I like FaceTiming. I did go on one FaceTime date because I felt like I had to during quarantine when I was on Hinge. And it went well. I mean, we talked for, I think, 2 hours. So
wow, that's a good FaceTime date.
It was a good FaceTime date. But I don't know. He, I think, is super busy. I wasn't necessarily looking for anything. You know, it was March. No one knew what was happening. Nothing bad happened. So it was fine. I did have one bad experience though on Bumble. So the guy was just, you know, creepy, really aggressive. He asked me to just continue the date in his car, you know, and I was like, I don't know what that means, but like, let's not. So I appreciate that you guys really keep kind of like safety in mind too. I know that's a big thing.
Yes, I think the thing is, like, we know that those kind of creepy things are not going to be avoided on foreplay. Like, that's the truth, is that with online dating, creepy things are going to happen.
Exactly.
Whether you meet on Hinge, Tinder, Bumble, foreplay, it doesn't matter. You're meeting online, so you don't know the people, they're strangers. But what's so great about foreplay is you're with your friend. So, so, you know, creepy things are going to happen because they just, that's the nature of dating online. But if you have someone there with you to like squeeze your hand and say like, okay, this is weird, or we got to get out of here, or you have someone to order the Uber, you have someone to watch your drink while you're in the bathroom. It's just, it's the buddy system, right? So like, we all know the buddy system works for safety.
Exactly. Okay. So, well then, like, starting off before you go on the date, what would you say your precautions are? Cause I know you kind of detail it out on your blog and on your website and whatnot. So what would you say are the precautions, any red flags that you should kind of seek out before you really meet up in person?
Oh, this is bad what I do. I'm a bad girl.
But it's not bad. It's good.
I'm an FBI agent.
Many girls.
Except for that I am like creme de la creme. It's a little,
it's pretty impressive.
So for me, you know, if I can't find a presence on the internet, that's a red flag, you know, and I know that some people will say like, they're not on social media. I think that's totally fair, but their mom should be, or their sister should be, or somebody else should be, where you can access that person. And if you can't find anyone related to them, or you can't even find like a LinkedIn, I mean, listen, like, sometimes you even, I mean, this is terrible, but sometimes you find an obituary with someone.
Oh my God. That's not normal.
Sometimes you find an obituary and it says like, survived by John Jones. And you're like, okay, he does exist. Okay. He is from Doylestown, Pennsylvania. Okay.
That's a new level. So, I mean, I think I'm adding that though to my...
Add that. Yeah. I mean, add that. Obituaries. Yeah.
Absolutely absurd.
It's a way of validating their existence.
But you know, there are totally ways, even with on the app, a dating app itself or a dating website, like the person doesn't post, I mean, maybe this is not judging fairly, but if a person is only selfies or not with anybody else, like that's more likely a catfish situation, I would assume, right? Like all of these catfish stories in the show, it's like a lot of solo shots.
Totally.
You could tell there's like giveaways in the photo about how old the photo is, you know, like you definitely are like, okay, you're in a frat house with that red solo cup, but you're saying that you're 34. So like, where is the disconnect here?
Yeah. And I think like another thing is that, so when on foreplay, a team creates a shared profile. And so you should expect to see pictures of those two people together. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's something that it gives you the green light. Like, okay, these are two real people because they can find three pictures together. How likely is it that a catfish is able to find another person in three pictures together, right? If there were like one picture of him and one picture of him, you know, of course they could be real, but I think it's super easy to just like take a selfie together, right? Like, or get on a FaceTime call and take a screenshot.
Yeah. So the profile itself. And then there are things that we recommend doing. So with foreplay, every date is a group date, right? Every date is four people. But when foreplay didn't exist and I was in school in at Rutgers in New Jersey and ran going on dates in random suburbs, it was always like sharing my location, right? Always telling my friends when to expect me to be home so that if I wasn't, you know, it would be like an alarm. Even with foreplay, though you're bringing a friend and it's inherently safer because you have a buddy there with you, there's like, it's less opportunity for foul play. I would still recommend that people share their location ahead of time. Like that's not never a bad idea.
Right.
Yeah. No, it never is a bad idea. And I make sure I live with like four other girls. So I make sure to just share my location with all of them. So I think I have like 16 girls on my friends, which I think is super helpful to know, like when, especially late at night, like you never know. And I mean, God forbid anything happens. So yeah, I think that would be a very good piece of advice. And then also I think my friend, she has not a fake, but another LinkedIn profile that she has to specifically look at guys. Because, you know, on LinkedIn,
it could say who said who viewed your profile.
I know. So that's what she does. And she finds that super helpful. So we just send the guy's name usually in our group chat and we're like, here he is. Tell
and
us.
She's on it.
Yeah, she's on it.
Oh, that's incredible.
But, you know, even if your date is the most stand up, amazing, kind person, if you're getting into an Uber at the end of the day, you don't know who your Uber driver is. You know, like you hear these terrible stories. There's a lot of risks around dating. The bartender, what are they? You know what I mean? Like you can't control it. There's so many risks built into dating, unfortunately.
I know it is really unfortunate, but I guess going off of that, like what would you say during the date? So obviously we talked about like pre-date precautions, but during the date, like how do you make sure you're safe, but also, you know, not freaking out, enjoying yourself? Cause obviously you want to like have a conversation with this person and get to know them and see if you vibe with them and all of that.
Yeah, totally. Oh, that's such a great question. I don't do this, unfortunately, and I really, really should. Something that I've heard is that in the UK, the bartenders know like code words. And I think this might be a thing in the US in some locations too, but I'm just not familiar with using this technique. We spoke to someone who said in the UK, you go up to a bartender and you say like, I'll have a green elephant or whatever the term is. And the bartender knows that that means get me out. Like, get me out of here. So maybe even like establishing a rapport with the bartender, you know, showing up early and saying, I'm going on a date tonight. Just keep an eye out for me. Something that I definitely don't do enough of, probably because I don't like showing up first. I like to come later. I don't like to be there first. I think that's one thing.
Definitely.
What do you think?
I think in general, for any first date, probably even a second date, you need to, I think, be careful with how much you're drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I think like I'm a small girl. Like I'm like 5'1". So, and I'm petite. Like genetically. So one drink and I'm like feeling a buzz. Now this works against me in the sense that even if I'm enjoying the date, when the guy's like, do you want another? And I'm like, no, it's not because I'm not interested. It's because if I have another drink, I'm going to be drunk. First of all, it's not a cute look for me. Like it's like not cute to be like wasted on your first date. And also if you're drunk, you're uninhibited. You're more likely to make bad choices. And are you getting a good sense of their character if you're drunk? Like, did I really like him? Or was I just really drunk and thought he was super hot?
Right. You know? It's like, did I really have fun on my date last night? Or did I have fun because I drink? Like, did I don't even, you know, if you want to get to know the person's personality, I think you have to keep it to just a buzz, if anything.
No, I mean, I completely agree. Cause I have been on a few dates. I'm also a pretty small girl. I'm 5'3", but you know, I'm pretty petite. And after one drink, I usually feel pretty buzzed.
Right.
Even though some of my friends who, you know, are like way taller than me, they're like, I have two drinks and I feel absolutely nothing. And I'm like, what do you mean? So I've been on a few dates where I've maybe had even two drinks and it's hard to get a good sense of, do I really like this guy? Like, do I like his values? All of that.
Yeah.
Like have fun and loosen up, but you have to be able to stay in control. And also, this is even taking it a step further. I think it's because I had a personal experience with somebody slipping something in my drink. So I feel like it really happens. It happens, right? Like I never would have in a million years thought anything like that would ever happen, but it does. So also, and after it happened to me, my cousin's husband was like giving me this whole pep talk about how like, you put the drink down, you never pick it back up. You're going to the bathroom, you take the drink with you. Now I'm a germaphobe. I'm not taking the drink with me into the bathroom, but I will wait until I finish the drink before I use the bathroom on the date.
Exactly. So
you know, like you got to protect yourself because no, if you're not looking out for yourself, no one's looking out for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that kind of goes across just like the dating scene in general, just making sure at the end of the day, you have to put yourself first, your values first, what you want out of a person. And if you don't, you know, follow that, then, you know, you might get into some trouble. But I guess kind of going off of that as well, just after the date, say you love the guy, not actually love the guy. You got to give him a few more days after that.
Sometimes I do actually love the guy.
Sometimes I do too, but I really need to stop that, falling in love with people so easily.
Really not okay.
I know. So what would you say if, you know, you're really vibing with the guy, great chemistry, all of that, how do you kind of proceed without kind of coming across as, you know, really aggressive? Or I don't know, sometimes, you know, I struggle because I'm like, I don't want to come across like I'm like super, super desperate, but also I really liked him and want him to ask me out again. So what do you do after that?
Totally. I mean, I think that it's funny because you're asking the two girls who do the opposite of what every other girl does. So I definitely get obsessed with people on the first date, but then I don't want to talk. I would rather that person like give me a little bit of space, because I get anxious if it turns into something too fast. It makes me anxious. Like, you know, like I don't want to start talking after the date and then all of a sudden it's like, wait, we just met, but now we're talking all the time. Like, can we go on a couple dates and like slow down? So I don't even know what my advice would be, because I usually don't follow up.
Yeah.
I wait for the follow up. I don't follow up.
Yeah. I mean, I gotta be honest, these past few months, year or so, it's been rough out there in the dating world. Like, I just have not been having the best of dates. So I've been like trying not to follow up afterwards.
Yeah.
But that's a really good question. I mean, I personally think that you feel it on the date, right? Like, you feel if it's there. I mean, sometimes, I don't know what your opinion is on kissing on the first date. I mean, do you kiss on the first
date?
Yeah,
no, I say if you feel it, go for it.
Right. Like, if you're feeling it, like, go for it. I think that for the most part, guys are like perceptive when a girl is into it, because I've thought so many times that I was being discreet, like, because I think I play it cool. And like, my guy friends that I had something with romantically had been like, no, it was like, it was obvious that you like wanted something, or like, it was obvious that you wanted me to go in for the kiss. Like, guys feel it. I think guys are like not necessarily as emotionally intelligent in terms of like what we're feeling, like emotionally, but physically, I think like when the pheromones are there and the vibe is there, like the guy knows to go for
They're
it.
They're animals.
Yeah. And if you have a good ending to a date like that, where you have like a nice kiss afterwards, like the guy is probably going to follow up, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Unless the kiss was horrible.
If the guy didn't follow up after a kiss, I would definitely be blaming myself for my kiss. I would be like, what did I do? Like, did I not lick my lips first before? Like, did I have too much gloss on? Like, I would blame
garlic. I don't know.
I must have eaten garlic. Like, what could it be? I would blame my kiss 100%.
Yeah. No, I know. But that's when I would have to like also turn back and be like, no. It's them. It's them. It's them.
Yeah, right.
Just give yourself a pep talk too. But
right.
I'm exactly like you though, Danielle. Like I mentioned, like I do get like obsessed with the guy, but I just try to play it cool, even though like you are saying, Julie, like they can tell. They can probably tell. I remember that I was obsessed with this guy back in college and I thought I was like so cool. I just casually say hi to him probably every day. All of his friends were like, we all knew you were obsessed with him. So
it was like seeping from your pores.
You know what's interesting also, like, you know, when you don't care anymore, like when you don't care and when you're not trying, that's when they all flock to you.
Yes.
I remember like so perfectly every guy that I was obsessed with, I like got over it and I was like, you know what? I'm traveling for a few weeks. Like, I don't care. And I remember like three of those boys texted me because I was like gone and they were out of my mind. And I feel like they felt some kind of like weird spiritual, like, wait, why doesn't she care anymore? Like, when you stop caring, I feel like that's when you're the most attractive, not even with anyone in particular, just in life. I feel like when you're just like, I'm going to just live my life with zero expectations and just enjoy myself, that is the most attractive thing.
Totally.
Exactly. Well, I think that's like super important. And also, I'm not sure if you've ever heard of, her name's Serena fucking Kerrigan on Instagram.
Yes.
And TikTok. Freaking love that woman. And she even mentioned that piece of advice too in one of her, I think her TikToks or whatever. And she said the best way to get a guy to kind of want you back is to stop caring. And it's so true, because I and a lot of other girls as well, you know, we all care a little bit way too much. And I don't know how guys, I think, can do it so well. They seem to not care.
Why do they not care?
I think it's like genetically or something in their brain that allows them to do it. I obviously do not possess that.
Yeah, you're right. It might be some sort of like evolutionary thing that we have, like as women. We're just like, okay, I need to get you. I need you to be the father of my children.
Yeah,
like,
well, that's it. It's gotta be evolutionary.
It's evolutionary.
Because for us, unfortunately, it's like, well, if I want to procreate, date. I gotta get going.
We're on a timeline, and they can just go through life. And I'm like, okay, I'm 23 right now, but you know, in 10 years, I better be married.
Yep, totally. I think for us, it's like we fall so much faster because there's something instinctive in us that's like driving us to push forward to the next step.
I don't know. Exactly. And I mean, especially growing up too, in like society, I think as women, we're just so focused. And I'm not sure obviously how your parents raised you. And it's obviously just in your family structure of how you're raised and how you view all of like marriage and dating and all of that. But I mean, overall, society really says, okay, you have to get married, have a lot of kids and all of that. So as two single women, what would you say your advice to other single women are?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think what Julie said before really translates, whether it's dating or anything else in life, if you are passionate about what's important to you and do what brings you joy, then I think that's the most attractive thing. And it doesn't matter whether that's in a romantic relationship or in a professional relationship. I mean, we were just having a conversation with my sister the other day, and she was saying that there was someone who worked at her office, a really big corporate setting. And this woman always left the office at 5, even though she had a really, really important job. She did not work outside of the office. And she would say she wouldn't email 24/7, and she made time for herself. And my sister said everybody loved her because the fact that she respected herself and did what was important to her and not what's important in society was what made her so respectable and so attractive of a person. So I think that that pertains to dating and, you know, elsewhere.
Yeah, I would say when it comes to like advice for a single girl woman, definitely that aspect of it. And also I think that women just need to be more confident. I think we just do. I think we get beaten down, and honestly, men get beaten down too. I would give the same advice to guys because I feel like we give guys the short end of the stick a lot. But the truth is society is rough. I mean, today, for example, I got a text message from a friend being like, you and Danielle know how to live. You girls are always laughing on the Instagram. You're having such a good time. And my response back was like, well, yeah, because when we're doing fun things and it's fun, we're having a great time, but that's social media. So like we're posting the fun stuff because do you want to see me sitting with like a hot pack on my back being like, I'm so miserable and stressed out? No.
Do you want to see me like yelling at Julie? No.
No. So like, you know, I think the fact that we're surrounded by people on social media in real life who are like, that come off like they're thriving puts a lot of pressure on you. Body image, there's a lot of pressure on body image. So I think for any single person, the key to being a successful single person is to recognize that there is something about you, probably multiple things that are awesome. I don't know if I can curse on your podcast, so I just stopped myself from saying
that. That are
fucking awesome.
Incredible.
Yeah. Like it's honestly the truth. Like there's something about everybody that is incredible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you deserve to be made to feel like you are fucking incredible because you are. So to know that about yourself and to not accept less is the key to success, because I would rather be alone and happy than with somebody else and miserable. It's just not worth it.
Exactly. No, preach. Because I mean, I've learned that over the past year. I think my last boyfriend we broke up in December of last year. You know, since quarantine happened, obviously I haven't really done much dating, and I've been single and I'll probably be single for a while just with the state of the world. But that's one thing I've really learned too, is just to put myself first and really just realize everything that I have to offer. Because if you forget that, then you're going to let someone kind of walk all over you. And, you know, we don't need that in our life. And so kind of switching gears too, I'm really interested and I want to know, what's your best or worst dating stories? Because I'm sure, you know, as women, we all have many, many, and I know I do too, but I want to hear yours first.
So I went on a date with this magician and
was it magical?
Great question. No, it like was until. Okay. So let me start from the top. He was not a nerdy magician. He was a magician that was like a sexy, like writer for Comedy Central, like a
Chris Angel, but like,
yes,
gothic.
Like doesn't shop at Hot Topic, but
okay.
But definitely has that level of swag. So our date was amazing. But when we got to the end of the date, he didn't pay. And listen, I am a feminist. I am all about women being able to take care of themselves 100%, but I believe in chivalry. And yeah. I think that you can believe in chivalry and still be a feminist. And I'm just old fashioned with that. So I think that on a first date, the guy should pay. And even if the girl offers, like he should pay. And that's just my opinion.
No, and I agree with you on that too.
You know, if you, especially if you think it's going well and want to have another date, it's kind of a way of the guy showing like, I want to have another date. So I think a guy should pay. So I thought this date went so well, but when he didn't pay, I was a little confused, like why he didn't pay. And he texted me the next day wanting to go out again. And I could not think of any reason to tell him that I wouldn't go out with him again other than telling him the truth, because the date was amazing. Mm-hmm. So I said, I was really thrown off by you not treating, and I just am old fashioned that way, and I wish you the best of luck. I don't think we're a match. I said, it's unfortunate because like we did vibe, but like it's just a fundamental difference, I guess. And he wrote back being like, well, I'm a feminist, and so I believe that you should be able to, you know, pay for yourself, but whatever. So then he asks me out again about a week later. I get an apology text. I'm so sorry. I thought about it. I'm sure he talked to his mom. I thought about it. I should have made the check disappear, but I didn't. And I want to treat you to dinner. So we went out to dinner and it was terrible.
Oh no.
Food was terrible. He was terrible. I realized that I actually fucking hated him. And when the check came... And when the check came and he was like, I got this, I was like, oh my God, I have so much guilt because I feel bad that he took me to this nice restaurant to treat me. And then I couldn't say I'll split it because he would have thought that it was a test. So I let him pay for me. And then we went out and then we went outside and I didn't offer. And then we went outside and he did the, can I kiss you? And I did because I was like, whatever, I'll just let him kiss me.
So. It's like a sympathy kiss. It's just right. Like, ugh.
It's like, I'll be here. Like, here are my lips. I'll be here. Like, do what you need to do. And then, you know, we were on the corner and he said, like, do you want to go out again? And it was really awkward because I was like, I don't think so. Poor guy.
I know, but those moments are like when you can feel your skin crawling.
Yes.
Nothing worse, I swear, than an awkward date. And you know that the guy's into you, but you're just really not feeling it.
Oh, I know. It's so bad. And it's like, the thing is, I'm a nice person, so I don't know how to be a bitch to a guy like some people do. I don't know how to be a bitch, so I continue being nice, and then I think I dig myself into a hole where
that's what I do too. Yeah. I don't know how to like tell you like back off or yell. Like my one complaint that my ex-boyfriend had, he was like, you're not crazy enough. And I was like, what? That was the first time I've heard that.
Excellent. Yeah, when a guy says you're not crazy, it's like, wow, kudos to me. Well,
thanks. I try not to be. So I'm taking notes though now for my next boyfriend, I guess.
I just recently had a terrible date.
Oh God.
Ooh. Yeah.
Well, tell that one.
Yeah, I'm going to. Yeah. So I just had a date with somebody who he was a lot before the date. He asked me for my number and I said, I'll give you my number. But the truth is I'm not a big texter before the first date. I like to go out and get to know someone. Then there's no point in texting in my book.
Yeah.
FaceTime, phone call, fine. I don't need to small talk text you. Anyway, he was like, totally respect that. He didn't, because he was texting me literally nonstop. And then he would be like, why aren't you responding? And I'd be like, because I told you I don't text before the first date. So that was the red flag and I shouldn't have gone out with him. However, it's COVID and quarantine and it's going to get really cold here in New York soon. So I was like, while I can still go outside and socially have a drink, I'm going to go for it. So we go to meet up. He sees me approaching. His instinct was to take his mask off and go in for a hug. I literally stiff-armed him. And I was like, wait, don't come any closer. Like, I treat patients. I cannot have you in my face. Like, I don't know you. Super awkward way to start the date. It only got worse from there. So basically, no restaurant had seating for us. So we were walking around. But instead of making it like cute and we were talking, he was like on a mission to get us a table. So he was like 12 feet ahead the entire time. And I was just like trying to catch up to my dad, like walking too fast.
By the way, I feel so anxious just like listening to the story. Like, I feel I'm having a visceral response.
I know.
It was pretty terrible. So then we finally get to a restaurant and we sit down and I'm thinking, okay, it's gonna be great now because we're sitting down. He literally, and I feel really bad because some people truly have social anxiety. He was the most socially awkward person in the entire world. So he did not make any eye contact with me, did not let me speak, was going on and on and on, but not making any eye contact, was asking about the Cold War and I don't know anything about the Cold War. And when I asked if he was a history buff, he was like, no. So it was just like a super, super, super awkward date and no social cues were being picked up on. And it was very uncomfortable when he asked me to go out again and I had to say no.
Ooh, that's a really bad date, to be honest.
Yeah, it was terrible.
I hope he finds someone that he can.
And he will. He was a nice guy. He just wasn't for me.
Yeah, no, I mean, in terms of my bad dates, I have already thought of a few scenarios in my head that I personally experienced. I've been on a date with I guess you can call him a polygamist or some guy who is into it.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah, tell me more about that.
Maybe polyamorous is the better word because obviously I don't think he was interested in having multiple wives, but being in an open relationship while you're married.
Did you know before the date?
No. So, well, here's the backstory. I was a freshman in college when he was a senior. And so, you know, when you're a freshman and a senior is interested in you, you're obviously like, oh my gosh, obsessed. I'm like hot shit. So he had asked me out a few different times, but I was like, no, because I was trying to play it smart, I guess, because I was like, he's probably just interested in me and like try to take advantage of me. So I never actually went on a date with him. Well, actually, no, I went on a date with him when I was a junior. So I kind of postponed that date for 2 years, but we started talking again somehow. And then he took me out on a first date. It was actually one of the best dates I've been on. The first date was great. It was like a 3-part date. We went axe throwing, which is very random.
I love that. That's fun.
But it was fun. And then he took me to a really nice restaurant, dropped a lot of money on me. He did pay. So I appreciated that.
Well, I feel like he needed to like lay the groundwork to tell you like, hey, so you're one of 8 girlfriends.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I see what he was doing. So second date, this is funny because I have been basically, I mean, I have had a few like boyfriends, but nothing very serious. So I've been single every Valentine's Day of my life. So this past Valentine's Day, it was actually back in 2019. This was no different. You know, I'm casually seeing this guy and then come say a week before Valentine's, he's like, okay, let's go out to dinner or you can either come over here and I can cook you dinner. And that's what we can do on a Thursday. And I was like, oh, that's really strange. Like why on a Thursday? And I was like, okay, let's do it. And I put 2 and 2 together.
That's really weird. Okay, let's do it.
I know. Well, that's my issue too. I'm very just chill. I'm like, go with the flow. I'm like, okay, yeah, that's totally fine. And so I put 2 together and I'm like, wait, this is Valentine's Day. This is weird. And he's cooking me dinner. So I went over to his house and, you know, it was fine. He was talking and we're talking about like podcasts and like podcasts that we listen to. And then he mentions open relationships and then he stops himself and he's like, no, wait, I don't want to go into that topic because I'm not sure how you feel. And I knew that he had cheated on a few girls in the past. And so I was like, no, wait, tell me more. And so he goes into how us as like humans and we've evolved to be in monogamous relationships, but really you're supposed to be polyamorous and just, even if you're married, be interested in open relationships. And I'm like, I mean, if that is what people are interested in, go for it. But for me personally, that's not what I'm looking for at all. I mean, I'm very possessive. I mean, I want you and only you, and I don't want you to be interested in other girls. So that was a big red flag. And then just kind of the date went downhill from there. It just started getting awkward. We watched, I think it was called You on Netflix.
Yeah. Oh God.
Yeah. That was his choice. Watch You, which is kind of like sexual assaulty vibes throughout the whole.
Yeah. Very
show.
Scary.
Like what? Is he a sociopath?
Wait, do you think he picked up on your vibe right away that was not your thing?
You know what? I'm trying to think. I tell myself that I played it off totally fine, but yet again, I was, you know, drinking wine, so maybe not.
Right. Yeah. I feel like the thing with polyamory is like, that's fine, but you're not going to convince me. And like, you can't really convince another person to be okay with like their sexuality, like to be okay with a certain type of sexuality. Like,
exactly.
You know, it's like, no, I'm wired this way or I'm not like that. And that's not for me, you know? So great. So you are, but like, I'm not. So don't try to convince me and give me the evolutionary spiel. Like that's your thing, but it's not my thing.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, that's, I would say probably my most awkward date. I also did go on a date though with a past gay stripper. Apparently.
Oh. How did you come to learn that?
Well, it was... he was such a sweet guy, but I think he was a little nervous and just shared a little bit too much information. And he kept on asking me, you know, what the craziest experience I've ever had. And I was like, I don't know. Like, I'm not going to obviously like divulge all of that information on a first date. So I just kept on saying, I don't know. I don't know. And I got annoyed. So I was like, okay, why don't you go?
And right,
so,
like he wanted you to ask his.
I know. So I was like, okay, what have you done? That's so crazy. And he's like, well, I was a gay stripper for a month, but that's only because my best friend like tried to convince me to do it. So I did it for a month. And I was like, so are you gay? Like, I'm confused. Also,
do not blame your friend for that, dude.
Right, like you wanted to bring it up. You wanted to bring it up.
Right. No, and also like you make your own decisions. Like your friend didn't convince you to do that. Your friend's not the scapegoat here. You wanted to try it.
To get a spray tan, get a thong, and strip.
Wait, also, was he cute?
He was really cute. Yeah, and so that's like the issue. He was like gorgeous.
Yeah, I mean, he could be good for something, but
yeah. So that was like probably like the second worst date I've been on. It wasn't honestly terrible. I was just not feeling it after that.
Well, that's just like a truly like unique story. Like not many people have that story. That's a good one.
Yeah. So I mean, I have a few more up my sleeve, but like we would be literally sitting here for hours just talking about all my terrible dates.
Well, I mean, plug, then you should try Foreplay because at least if it's terrible, you got a friend.
Exactly.
There.
Exactly. So where for Foreplay is that, I guess, in every city you have it? Is that all over the US?
So initially it was all over the US. And right now, as we speak, it is, but we're changing. We're changing the app so that when you log in, if you are in a certain location, you are able to access the app. And those locations are London, UK, and New York, and LA.
Okay.
And so if you're not in those locations, you basically are going to join a waiting list. And the reason why we did that is because Foreplay was such a hit all over the country and outside the country, which was amazing for us. So exciting. You know, that was the proof of concept, but it didn't help us in terms of like density. Like, mm-hmm. You know, when people go on a dating app, they need to see other people. So if we have X number of users, but they're all over the place, it doesn't help users have a good experience.
Exactly.
So now we're concentrating into just certain cities. But yeah, London is randomly.
Dude, London. Let me tell you about London. Whoever these two guys in London are yesterday, I just keep thinking about them. They must have, you know, they logged on. They had 10 there was 10 matches yesterday in London from the same person. That's 20 singles in one day that they just matched with.
Yeah, like those people are going to meet 20 singles in a matter of, I don't know.
Like
they could probably do it in 3 weeks.
How good are those guys feeling right now?
They're probably feeling amazing.
Wow, their confidence and is probably going through the roof right now, totally. Which sometimes men don't need on top of that. Well, I guess like where can everyone who is looking to download Foreplay, if they're in the LA area, tri-state area, or obviously London, how do they go about, you know, signing up and all of that?
Yeah, great question. So we are in Google Play and then we're also in the App Store. So it's on iOS and Android. And you can find us there. You can also find our Instagram at Foreplay Social, which has some Foreplay content and then also has some best friend content on there as the founders of Foreplay. There's a lot of us goofing around.
Yeah, and Foreplay is Foreplay.
Yeah, and that's it. And then basically when you sign up, you create your own individual account, but then in order to actually use the app, you do need to team up with a friend. So on our app, you only swipe in teams and you only swipe on other teams, not on other individuals.
Okay, I like that. And I liked also, I saw that you can put already before you start, you know, going through the app and seeing all of the potential matches that you can put like, oh, I don't want to see my ex, or oh, I don't want to see my boss.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah, that's called the cold shoulder. You can say you can say, I don't want to run into my dad. Like if your dad is single, it's like, I don't want to run into my dad. You put in the phone number of the person who you never want to see, and whether they have a Foreplay account or they ever get a Foreplay account, we'll make sure that you do not cross paths.
Okay. I think that idea is absolutely brilliant because I think every other dating app should have that feature because
I don't know
because I was actually swiping last night on Hinge and I saw my best guy friend and I just matched with him just for like shits and gigs. And I started like texting him and I was like, this is so funny. You need to change this. This is not good. So I definitely love that feature. But other than that, where can everyone, you know, find you on social?
Yeah. So at Foreplay Social, Foreplay Social is our Instagram handle.
Okay.
And then also on Facebook and Twitter as Foreplay Social.
Okay. Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Danielle and Julie. I loved having you and I loved this conversation. It was so
We did too. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you so much.
It definitely was like the pick me up that I needed for the rest of the day. And hopefully I can get back out there and start dating again.
Yes. You got this, girl.
You got it, girl.
Thank you.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that is all we have for today. I hope you loved it just as much as I did. I hope it made you laugh. I hope it made you smile. I hope you walked away with a few great tips when you go out and date for the rest of the year or on into 2021. I absolutely love talking to them. And of course, most importantly, be sure to follow them on all of the socials. I'll have that in the show notes down below. Of course, also, be sure to subscribe to this podcast if you like the content I am, you know, giving out or producing. I mean, you know, it helps a girl out when you rate, give me 5 stars, tell your mom, tell your brother, tell your father, all of them. And also, if you are in LA, New York City, or London, most importantly, like hands down, most important thing I'll say, be sure to download the 4Play app. You and your best friend can go on a couple fun double dates and honestly DM me about it and I will live vicariously through you because I live in San Diego and unfortunately it is not in my region. But you know, when I move to the city next year, you best know that I am downloading it the second I get there. But that is really all I have for you guys today. I love you all so, so much. Happy November and have a great rest of your week. Talk to you guys later. Bye.